You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Monday, October 26th, and it is time for a conversation with Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Good morning to you and your listeners.
Thank you.
It's a sunshiny day, I think, out there.
It is today. Tomorrow's not looking so great. But
No. It's a bit chilly, but, you know, we're heading into that season. You know, the beautiful leaves and taking a few pictures with my camera, and it's just amazing, just wonderful.
I did get out for a drive, driving around the area here this weekend yesterday, and it was absolutely beautiful. The leaves are changing, and it's just a beautiful picture. The paintbrush is amazing here, the palette, all the oranges and the reds, the golds, it's really pretty.
Yeah, and some trees are, I mean, we have a hard maple tree in our front yard, and it's not even touched yet, but it will get to the colors. You know, it's a little biology for your listeners, as the fluids that God uses to keep the trees going during the spring and summer and a little bit into fall, they start to recede. And I may have mentioned this, and they move out of the plant, not into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And as they recede, that causes the colors to be what they are. And then eventually, of course, when there's no fluid, then they die. But once again, here we come back into the spring, and then they come back up, and the leaves are green again. So it's quite a system God has created here for us to see the beauty of His creation.
It is. It is magnificent to enjoy His beautiful creation. And unfortunately, by the time we get to take some time off around Thanksgiving, I think all the leaves will be gone.
I know. I have 13 bags of leaves outside in front waiting for the trash guy to pick it up. But I realize your listeners aren't probably interested in how many trash bags I have. So they probably have more, or maybe a bit less. But it's, raking leaves and getting them together, that's good exercise, you know. It's all good. So I'll tell you what I've got here this morning. Let me go through once again a few topics, and some are quite similar, but they always just keep coming up. And one has to deal with a right to die case. Now, this occurred over in Spain, and it has happened here several times, where a young lady was ordered by the court to remove a feeding tube from a 9-year-old who was in the process of dying, but the hospital decided that the treatment that she was giving was futile, and of course they removed the feeding tube, and she was and they moved her to a different room, and she died within a few days. So this kind of situation of is it worthwhile to keep a person who is dying hydrated and on a feeding tube and so forth, because the American Medical Association considers, based on their medical code of ethics, hydration, respiration, and a feeding tube to be a non-essential. And I realize that might cause some concern for your listeners, but those are issues that have to be written by prescriptions, and we consider them food and water. We consider them very essential. So there's always the question, when do you withdraw and when do you add fluid to a person, when, of course, biblically, we are to take care of people. And so the parents really had nothing to say about this. They knew that Andrea would die, but they weren't ready for the fact that when their daughter's body stopped responding, that the hospital would treat her that way. So that's one issue that people have to be tuned into. The other side of the coin is now with those people who have children in sports, they're starting to deal with the whole issue of transgender. We've talked about this, but we've never brought this issue up. There's been a published blog by a DePaul University bioethicist. His name is Craig Glugman. And he's been exploring the different approaches to the question of what's going to happen in sports when a boy who believes he's transgender wants to compete in women's races, not just at the college level, but at the high school and junior high level, where you still have a lot of these sports ongoing. And even though the genetic information would demonstrate it's either a boy or a girl, are they going to allow these things to happen now? I realize this is probably for some of your listeners more of a, well, this is a public issue. This is not something we have to be concerned about. But we Christians, do live in a left-hand kingdom, the civil government, and this will involve your children if this is occurring and they happen to be in a sport, any sport that involves competition, whether individual or team, and what will they be doing if on their team they have a transgender girl, that is, who was a boy and starts to participate, and then now we got locker room, we have all the issues of creation coming up again. So that's something that is coming back. And more recently, back to the whole issue of gay marriage, recently a court in the United Kingdom, and apparently there's one case pending here in the United States, according to what I've been reading, where a 14-year-old has been brought up since birth by her biological mother and her mother's quote-unquote lesbian partner. And now the court, that's about 7 years ago, her biological father petitioned the court to contact her. Well, the court ordered the donor-conceived girl to develop a relationship now with the gay father. So, you know, these kinds of complex situations are ongoing in terms of how we deal, what does it mean to be human, and if that doesn't tap off what's going on in the field of bioethics. There's a gentleman by the name of Ray Kurzweil. I mentioned him some time ago. He has the Kurzweil synthesizer that is a big keyboard that a lot of people use in different churches, even Lutheran Christian churches that have contemporary blended worship services. Stevie Wonder uses his. He was the first person to develop one for Stevie Wonder years and years ago. He is the one, he's a futurist, and he's now the director of engineering at Google, which everybody has heard about. And he believes that by the year 2045, it will be possible to upload our brains to a computer, much like we've seen in the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still. We've seen this in the movie Transcendence. We've seen this in the movie Artificial Intelligence. We've seen this, it's even in the movie Captain America, the Winter Warrior, where this man who worked for the bad guy in the movie had his brain uploaded into a computer. So these are things that people are working on and constantly go back to the theme, and I don't think it can be overemphasized. What does it mean to be human and live the life of Christ in this world? When people want to start freezing brains and believing that they can resurrect them down the road. This was an article out of the New York Times about that, where people are starting to freeze their brains. And I suspect, as one neurologist wrote in this article, that so that they can upload themselves into a brain and then live forever, that this guy says, we all find our solutions to the problem that death poses for the foreseeable future, bringing your mind back to life will not be one of them. So, you know, people just aren't understanding what original sin and death is all about, what does it mean to be human, and these are the basic things that I believe people need to start spending more time on within the body of Christ. For those are some of the big issues that are continuing to grow, even though many of us look at them and say, well, that's down the road. Well, they're happening now.
So, the idea of freezing a, well, all these ideas that that are just so they're the things of movies, like you said earlier.
Well, they are the things of movies, yes, and some may think that these are far out issues, but you know, when the movie Gattaca was made in 1996 on artificial intelligence, but in vitro fertilization and how to create a child that serves not only the parents' purposes, but the purpose of society in this utopian society. About, I would say, 95% of everything that happened in that movie was science fiction. Now about 65% of the stuff in that movie is real. So it has happened. And I think people go, wow, that's wonderful. That's all science fiction. Not much anymore. It has to cast us back to the scriptures to get into this whole issue. What does it mean to be human in Christ, and to impact our Christian witness?
Yeah, I guess movies really do raise that question. What does it mean to be human, especially for the Christian? What does it mean to be human in Christ? What does it mean to be human?
Yeah, well, it means in Christ, what we're talking about is that he is our creator. He is the one that, you know, took on the wrath of God at the cross, conquered sin, death, and the devil. And to be human, then, is to live in Christ. To be human is to be justified. I remember Dr. Aaron over at Concordia Seminary said to be fully human is to be justified by grace through faith. Now, the secular world would not agree with that. To be human to them would simply mean, what have you accomplished in the world? What can you do to keep yourself going and to make and to raise the status that you have? But it is a question that needs to be continued to be researched and studied from the scriptures, and also to know what other people are saying about it. But all these movies that are out there, and there's more coming out, I think they offer some information that we can all gather together and say, okay, the day the earth stood still by 1951, I hate to say this, but it was directed by Robert Wise. Now that's W-I-S-E. It's a science fiction film, and it is he's a Christ figure, Michael Renes Klaatu, whose spaceship finds its way into Washington. So you do have these figures that are created by some of these movies that have this redemptive quality. And so I think that when people go to see these movies, this whole issue of a flying saucer in the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, 1951, is a Christian parable of the second coming, of the day the earth stood still. And some people don't see that in that movie, but it is there. And I think that when we look at these movies, it's good to teach in confirmation what can we say about this movie in terms of the Christ-like figures that are there. And it doesn't mean that this takes away from the Bible, but I think people need to be tuned into all this stuff going around, not panic, but get back into the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and those are they that testify to Christ. So maybe this is a bit confusing to a lot of our listeners, but these are the things that are ongoing in our society that need us to constantly be in prayer and in church.
Indeed. Well, we have just about a minute left. Anything sure. else as we wrap up our time this morning? About 60 seconds.
Well, not really. I would just go back to what we began our conversation with about the colors of the trees and how these things are changing and how God brings back life. And how this can point to the life that we have in Christ, that even though we die, like the flowers, the trees, and the grasses here in the winter, we will come back at the resurrection, the final day. And this is kind of what we all live for, and this is what we all point to, is this Sabbath rest, which isn't just taking it easy when we worship the Lord in spirit and truth, but also the rest we have in Christ when we die in Christ. So that's always a good reminder for us all.
Indeed, indeed. Well, I'm looking forward to Friday doing a live broadcast from the Lutherans for Life conference. That's taking place.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Over in Petersburg, Kentucky. So we'll be heading out there on Thursday to get things ready for that. Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss. God's blessings on your week. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for your chat this morning.
To you and your listeners, and safe travels.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye now. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Kerry Duer from Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Anaheim, California. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO.